Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit. Libra Sunday. The Holy Spirit.
You
Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy September. September 1st, 2023. We have zoomed through the month of September, which marks, I believe, our 8th anniversary. We're starting our 9th year, and we are so grateful for your faithfulness and that you're here sharing with us and joining us in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. This is Words from the Word, and I'm also here for that. And we are looking at Hell's Toxic Trio by Ryan the Strange, and we're on Chapter 3. No, we're on chapter 4. We're on chapter 3, a long time. We're on chapter 4, Jezebel's Seduction Schemes and Strategies. We've come to a place where we are being introduced to God's strategy and to the original plan of the Lord for us. And the fact that he has structured a world for us and set in it individuals and offices so that the church could be edified, grow, build, and established and set in place in the kingdom. We want to look at the fact that just as God has established an order, the enemy is the counterfeit of everything God does, and he's established his own order. It behooves us to understand the original order so that we can understand the fact that anything else is a counterfeit. And once we know that it is a counterfeit, we know that it comes from the pit of hell. And hell's strategy, hell's goal is to break our faith. It is to reverse the process of our spiritual growth and development. It is to hamper our advancement in the kingdom for the glory of God. That's their goal. So our goal must be known, embraced, and obeyed in everything we do. So we need to understand what we're working with. And as this song indicated, this new covenant, this place that we're currently in, is, I was going to say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is His ministry in our life to produce the will of God in the earth realm today. This is what the way God has established it. We know it because Christ said it. He told the disciples, go and stay and wait. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. Because he understood God's order. He understood the process that was going to be needed for victory. And he wanted us to understand it. And so God, in his awesome way, made it available that every soul that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ received the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we, in order to fulfill the goal, the responsibility, the destiny on our life, we must have his power. We cannot do it in our own power. And so often we have to remind ourselves of that, because we get so entrenched in the details, we get so entrenched in the daily routine that we forget it's not about us. It is really not us having this victory. This victory comes to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the blood and name of Jesus Christ, which always has to be before us, which is why we see the most powerful individuals in Scripture spent an enormous time in prayer, in connecting to the Lord, in an intimate relationship with God of glory. And one of the offices that the Lord established was the office of the prophet. And he was to hear the heart and voice of God and then relay it to God's children. And so we need to understand the role of each of the officers. And so often we hear it and we can recite a definition, but we need to understand the workings of it and the power of it, and why the principle behind it, so that we can respect it according to the way we should respect the Lord God in heaven. Because he has set it in place. He set it in place. This was his plan. And there's only two plans. It's either his or it's the enemy. And so we want to make sure that we keep in the forefront of our minds God's plan, so that we don't slip into, just by, I don't want to say by accident, not by accident, but it's more by just common routine, into like routine God out of our process, routine the Holy Spirit out of our process, deciding, well, this is no big deal, I can do this, you know, and yet understanding that in every way, Holy Spirit will talk to us and lead us, guide us. That is his ministry to us, to correct us, to comfort us, because sometimes correction is difficult, and sometimes the struggle is going to get the battle is going to get rugged. But the comfort is in the Holy Spirit, so that we are discouraged by the challenge of the enemy against us, because we know how this battle is supposed to go. And we understand everybody is to be in place. And so you know that the army of God has been established by God. It has been prepared by God and leadership that listened to God, by the prophets that heard the word, by the apostles that set it in place and monitor it to make sure it stays true to the word of God and the will of God. And so as a result, when we do that, it is a constant fellowship. It is a constant fellowship, a constant connection There's something we saw in the fact they were forever together, eating together, learning together, studying together, all through the week together, not just on one day. We've gotten so used to, maybe not us, but so many people have gotten so used to just on Sunday, and that's it. And that's never enough. It's never enough. It has to include every day of the week, whether it's in our own devotional time, our own private time, or our study time, our learning time, you know, the time that we dedicate and we give to the Lord every day. And so we are being informed of God's plan, and we are definitely persuaded that it works because it's God's plan. And one of the things I think we have recently, a lot of people have had the experience with, is the doctrine of. So there's a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There is a doctrine of devils and demons. There's a doctrine, you know, of Satan. There's a set of teachings that have been proven true and people agree with, and that becomes the doctrine of. And so in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, what we realize is we say enjoy the ministry, but do we know the doctrine, all of the doctrine that is associated with the Holy Spirit, all of the teaching, all of the instruction, all of the information, all of the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit? Because I think if we had a different picture of it, we would cling more closely to it, because it's our life, it's our life breath. It is our connection to heaven. It's every moment, you know, not just when someone gives a prophetic word, but every moment. I know that there are some of you that, you know, have come to the realization that, you know, the Holy Spirit tell you what to wear, tell you what to go, tell you what to eat, and he will. That's his job. His job is to be with us and producing in us the power and empowering us in our faith, so that the responsibility that we received when we were formed in our parents, our mother's womb, we are empowered to do it. God has a plan. So not only does he have a plan, he needs for us to fulfill the plan. And so he has made all things available to us so that we can. But we must know the doctrine of it. We must be able to identify it. We must be able to recognize the fact of the authoritative structure of things, and to, and not just recognize it, but to respect it, to seek it, to become subjective to it. One of the S's we learned is to sacrifice, separate,
surrender.
Thank you, Elder. And surrender. So when we say, you know, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know, we also are understanding, know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Embrace the ministry, because you can know it, but you not really do it, because you may say, oh, well, it's not that important. So you're not embracing. But we have to know the ministry, know the doctrine of, embrace it, believe it. And then when we obey it, we have that joy. It comes from that close fellowship with the person of the Holy Ghost. And so when we are thirsty. We feel dry in a barren land. You know, the solution is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that as we read about hell's toxic stuff, we are not overwhelmed with it, but rather we are enlightened by, oh, that's how that works. This is what this is for. It should encourage us to be more obedient to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because we begin to understand that this doctrine is against the doctrine of demons. And it shines a light on them. It shines a light on their process, their strategy, their scheme, their seduction, their method of operation. And so as it does, if we're free, that's why we're free. We're not trapped by them, because now we understand the power of them. One of the things the author shared, I want to read it, just in this kind of reality, is the fact that when God created mankind, and I'm on page 71, he placed the inhabitants of the earth under the authority of creation. Man had all power and dominion. The enemy had absolutely no authority whatsoever. That is why he had to persuade man to cooperate with his plan, talking about the enemy, to breach the authority and gain influence over mankind. And this is where the beginning of the seven mountains, right here, right at this point in the garden. The enemy wanted, and he could not, because he had no authority, but he went to the ones that have authority. So oftentimes we give up something, we don't even know how powerful we are. We don't understand the authority that we have. He said everything, every inhabitant on the earth, birds, bugs, and, you know, beasts, was under the authority of man. God placed it that way, and that was the way that if we understood that, what we were giving up, there was nothing we had need of, nothing. He had provided everything for us. And at that moment that we weren't convinced of that, we opened a portal. And the same thing happens today. The moment you're not convinced of your place, understand your place in the kingdom, understand your role and your destiny, that which you were created to do, the moment you don't, excuse me, the easier it is for the enemy to deceive you. So what we're looking in this chapter, and what it's saying is what the principalities do, because they have rank and authority, and they have a son, talking about the counterfeit. God releases divine revelation, powerful anointing, and angelic assistance to get the job done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to understand the doctrine of angels. These are all doctrines that we need to understand, because once we understand it, that's part of our help. That's part of our arsenal. They're there to help us in our victory. This is the goal, to release the kingdom of God on earth, to release the authority of the risen Christ on earth, subduing and overwhelming the power of hell. The Lord is mantling people who will fight against and overcome the power of hell. And if you were to fight against it and overcome it, excuse me, it's for us to understand what it looks like, where it comes from, and how it's structured. And so there are plenty of scriptures, and the most familiar one is the 6 and 12, where he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." And when I first heard it, that was like, what does he mean? You know, I'm having trouble with this person right there, and that's flesh and blood. But again, we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then I would have known and come to know that the flesh and blood is not what's against me. What is against me is the spirit of demons and Satan. That's what's against me. And so that should make our heart melt to all those people that we had a problem with. Because what it means is they, in a lot of instances, they're just like we are. But my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. Christ was on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't even know. They don't know. So he has charged us with the task of knowing the God you may not know. And there are so many aspects of God that we just don't know. Know to the point where we believe them wholeheartedly. Know to the point where we're intimately in an intimate relationship with them. Know to the point where his whispers go into our ears. And so we won't follow. We won't listen. You know, you can, when someone is whispering in your ear, you can't hear somebody else. You know, particularly if that person that's whispering in your ear is someone you love. You want to hear what they are saying. And so that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so when we say enjoy it, there are so many aspects of it that I believe we don't know. And we don't know intimately, and we don't understand. So when they eat on this Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I just want to share, because a lot of people I know don't have the book, but I do want to share this with you. So principalities are the highest-ranking ruling spirit assigned to territories, regions, nations, and people groups. So people groups, it's that black
power. Excuse me, overseer?
Yes.
Can you repeat that again, please?
Yes. Principalities are the highest-ranking ruling spirit assigned to territories, regions, nations, and people groups. So people groups are Black Lives Matter. So this is a principle that has this. This is where this attacks. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You can't change the flesh and blood, but you can change the principality because of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But you have to know that. It says these demons, demonic forces, are given charge to bind and hold territory. we see a picture of this in the Old Testament in Daniel 10 concerning the prince of Persia, who is a ruling spirit. Principalities will come in direct conflict with apostles and apostolic ministries because they are also assigned to regents and people. So to understand who you are. Then there's powers. Powers are the second highest ranking spirits that carry a manifestation of supernatural power to enforce the plan of the principality. And I hope you get that. They have manifest something that you can see. They can manifest supernatural power to convince people to go along with the plan of the principality. They influence the thought and feelings of human beings, seeding the thought realm with demonic lies. They work hard to destroy kingdoms, rule and reign. The meaning of the word powers indicates supernatural forces and manifestations. These spirits operate in heavy divination, false fire, counterfeit spiritual manifestations, and evil supernatural operations. Powers attempt to overthrow prophets and the prophetic ministry. All right, now the rulers of darkness. They release. Yes, ma'am.
You left a word out.
Okay.
They work hard to destroy kingdom order, rule, and reign.
Yeah,
kingdom order.
Right. Amen. Thank you. So the rulers of darkness release deception, false religion, and the occult. They work to bind the souls of men and women in foul deception. These demons sow the seed of false belief system, directly combating the office of the teacher. Then the spiritual wickedness releases lust for sin and depravity. Spiritual wickedness dwells in high places, the airspace above the earth. And I had to look this up because, well, I was finished. Both angels and demons travel through a great highway known as the first and second heaven. If our spiritual eyes were open, we would see the spiritual activity taking place in the heavens and all around us. These demonic beings mirror the evangelist, serving as the recruiting arm of the kingdom of darkness. These spirits use supernatural enticement to draw people into dark plans and schemes. They draw people to darkness much as the evangelist draws people to the kingdom of God. Demons are the foot soldiers in the kingdom of darkness, carrying out the plans of the ruling spirit. They are sent on assignment and vary in category depending on their particular purpose. Demons are continually on the move, implementing the plans of darkness and attempting to create bondage in the lives of human beings. Just as a pastor tends to the need of individual people, so these demons tend to the evil assignment against the lives of people. So when you you hear this, you can see as well as the ruling the ruling on the seven mountains on each one. Each one assigned an office. So when we see that with Adam and Eve, they breached in their authority when they disobeyed God. And now God has set up an order and empowered individuals in this order to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we see this hierarchy of in the spirit realm, we need to understand how real it is. That's why I love that song when it says, you know, much to my surprise, I realized that the Holy Spirit was more real than the breath I breathe. And it is in that breath that we breathe. A teacher once shared the fact that if we saw the spirit realm around us, we would hold our breath. We wouldn't want to breathe because we'd be afraid it would go into our nostrils. That's just how full of this activity is that's going on. And so when you hear the fact that the demons as well as angels are going up and down this ladder or steps or from earth to heaven, I'll put it that way, into the first and seventh, I'm not always heaven, but the first and second heaven, and the fact that this is how we receive what God has for us through the angels. They are given what we need. And if we don't call upon them, if we don't understand the doctrine of angels, then we are not using a resource to its capacity to get the victory, and so we struggle. So it causes us to struggle. So knowledge and the knowing, learning the structure of things and the order of things and the order of the things that we are associated with is much greater than the order of things, the counterfeit that the enemy has tried to establish, because what we have to realize is that they can only establish it. I think somewhere in the book, it shares, or in this chapter, it shares the fact that they spend their time watching us. They spend their time looking at every thought that we, you know, produce, all the words. The enemy continually studies the lives of human beings, paying close attention to their words, their actions, pain, and temptation. Demonic powers utilize human weaknesses to create entry points for domination and strongholds. It is the ambition of the kingdom of darkness to overthrow the plan of the kingdom of God. Nothing brings greater pleasure to the hounds of hell than tormenting God's people and interrupting heaven's plan. And so they get it. If they're going to watch us, they're going to watch our words and our actions and our pains, our suffering, and our temptations, then we should definitely watch it. We should watch it knowing that the enemy is looking for a weakness and understanding that that weakness does not have to be revealed, because the scripture says, where I am weak, he is strong. And so his strength, when they see that our weakness is covered in our own understanding by his strength, they can't get in that threshold. They can't because it is guarded by Jesus Christ, and they can't do a thing with Jesus Christ. And so that's why that our thoughts need to be his thoughts. Our actions need to be his actions. Our response to life challenges should be the response that he gave. And our temptation to things need to be overcome because he has overcome. Okay. I think we'll stop right here, and I can hear what you pulled out of this portion of chapter 4. I wasn't sure if we have that screw tape thing today, and if we have a decree and a prayer for today from Elder Roberta.
I have a prayer.
Amen.
When I was reading, I just, as I said before, you know, the writer has brought out more about the Jezebel spirit than what we were taught or told about it. But, yes, ma'am. Father, we come thanking you for this day, Father God. Thanking you for health, life, and strength. Thank you for a new day of your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who blew up, suffered, and died for the remission of our sins, Father God. We thank you for Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we come asking that you teach us how to pray for our children in order that they may not become entangled in the web of seduction being cast over the airwaves of the television, internet, computers, and other electronics into their minds, causing confusion and bondage, leading to devastating effects. Holy Spirit, teach us and help us to pray and to bind the effects of pornography and gangs and drug influence that our children face. When our children were to click on these sites on their phones or TVs, computers, take hold of their minds, Holy Spirit, and their hearts to not do so. Put such a fear of God and love for him in them that they would bypass the sight. Open up their eyes and ears of understanding of our children, Father God, to and for Holy Spirit. Cause them to become sensitive to your voice and leading, even at an early age, Father. Father, we come before you seeking purity. We do not want our life mixed with any impure spiritual influence. Search our hearts and reveal anything and all things that is impure. Father, we ask and Holy Spirit that you would guide us in our families, guide us in our private and in our kingdom calling. Holy Spirit, make us aware of any seducing powers of Jezebel in our lives and in our children's lives and body of Christ. Father God, we come even now against those powers in the mighty name of Jesus and forbid their operation in our lives, in our children's lives, and in our ministries. Holy Spirit, we claim purity over our lives even now, and we claim wisdom and discernment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the questions that they ask at the end of the chapter is where do we begin? And so it says, first review some of the symptoms listed in this chapter. And so it may be something we want to make a list of so that we can see them right, more accessible, that they're right there at our fingertips, as opposed to trying to look through the book for where they are. Review the symptoms that are listed as it relates to Jezebel's seduction scheme strategy. Then it says, ask Holy Spirit to shine light on your own heart. I love that, because you can't displace something that's in you. So you have to examine yourself and get it in line with the Word of God and whatever is there. You know, one of the marvelous things about the Lord's plan is ask Him to forgive you and to give you a clean heart. And so this is where we want to take responsibility of our own thoughts, actions, and words, how we respond to life circumstances and situations, and do we properly mirror what Christ would do. And so it says self-examination. When you have to ask something, you know, and definitely not want to be a part of you before you can be the enemy of it. You can't be friends and fix it. You can fix a friend, but, you know, you can give information to them. But what we can do is, if we are harboring a place of darkness, then it's not going to be where we can shine a light on a place of darkness when there's darkness in us. We need to self-examine. Pray for greater discernment of spirit and wisdom in relationships. And so that's something that, we sometimes don't do in relationships. Ask Holy Spirit to be your friend. Any relationship, is it something that is, and it may not be anything wrong with it, it just may not be the best thing for what God needs for you to do. So Paul is saying that, what Paul said, that some things are it's okay, but it's not expedient. Right. You know, it's not the best thing, you know. But anyway, so we want to make sure that's part of our prayer, so that Roberta prayed for the discernment and for that the wisdom in relationships. The author shared several relationships that he had established out of a need to do God's will. It was a program and that the church was starting. Initiating it, individuals came to the forefront and agreed to work with him. And anybody knows that a leader loves folks to volunteer to work. So they did. They were a prophetic in marriage. They were a married couple. And but he shared, as he told the story, he kept saying, but there was just something deep inside of him that, you know, he felt what it was. But he went on because, obviously, he needed their help. He needed their resources for the ministry. And, you know, they were very hospitable and polite to them. And, you know, they got into the favor of other people. And when he sat down and he talked to them, he realized, and remember, it said that part of these spirits are, they can do miracles. They can not, no. But evil supernatural manifestation, spiritual manifestation, and evil supernatural operation. And it's kind of spirit by spirit. And you'll know if something isn't of God. And one of the things he real started to realize as they, he continued to interact with them and talk to them, just little things that they didn't do as a sign of rebellion. You know, they didn't agree with him, and so they did something their own way a couple of times. And, you know, so all of these warnings that he was having until finally he just stopped and did a prayer and fasting. And then God revealed the truth. And so we're often, a lot of people say, well, I just never knew. And yet the Holy Spirit is going to tell us. He really, really is. That's his job. He doesn't want to trick us and say, okay, you're going to feel what this feels like. That's not what he does. And so we have to understand that when we feel these things, when we have this unction, that it's often Holy Spirit is in us. And if you're not sure, then do as he did. He prayed and he fasted, and they showed their hand. Because you can shine a light on darkness and make them show their hand. And that's when they decided that, you know, the church really wanted them to be, his wife to be, the pastor, you know, not a system, but they to be equal co-pastors or something. And the people wanted it, and, you know, it just blew out into a horrible circumstance and situation in the church. And it was what the enemy loves to do. And so we have to be careful, particularly in leadership, of the things we do and the relationships that we forge with different individuals, always making sure they're in line with the Word of God. And when they're not, to speak up. Because sometimes they're not, because people don't know, or they've never been taught, or they were taught differently. And the Lord has sent them the way of the ministry to give that knowledge to them. And so they just need someone to share that knowledge and labor with them as they embrace it, and then they walk in a wholeness. And as a result, the army of Christ is made stronger and better. Anybody else from reading get any insight, any inclinations, any thoughts?
Yes, good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
How are you? It's very interesting on how these things parallel. And when I say these things, I'm talking about screw tape letters. I'm not going to really go into that per se, but I will say that the letter that I have prepared, and we can talk about this next week because I know the hour is far spent, but it lined up almost seamlessly with what you're talking about. Initially, you started off talking about prayer. One of the things in letter four, and I'd really like to talk about letter five next week, but so, you know, I can do this in like 2 minutes, maybe, was that don't laugh, was the whole idea that the demons understand the power of prayer. So the fourth letter kind of just deals with the whole idea of keeping individuals, keeping the saints, in Screwtape's vernacular, the patients, unaware of the power of their prayer and keeping their prayers, number one, distracted, keeping them not focused on the Father or the Word of God's truth, but maybe emotion with no word in it. And that the whole idea when you spoke about the heavenlies, one of the things that they talked about is like this is what they see all the time. We don't see it. We have to go full tilt to really, you know, be into the spirit, having that discernment to be able to see things in the heavenly, but it is possible to see it. Where Screwtape talks about how they see this is what they see all the time, and how disgusting and in some cases frightening that they're talking about the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and it talks about trying to keep the saints or the patients unaware of those types of things, so that that your prayers might be personally centered and not God focused. It also talks about there's a line in there that talks about silent prayer, and I mean this was written back in the late 40s, but it was saying silent prayer is for mature Christians, and that young believers or immature believers, as opposed to really being in silent prayer, will oftentimes be in a mood or create an ambience of devotion, but they're not really praying, if that makes any sense. I'm not sure if I'm communicating it effectively, but he was saying that as simple as that seems to have silent prayer, that you have to really be mature in God for that to be effective, because usually they can you can be distracted with other things, even the object of the prayer. You know, it talks about praying to the hoary head God of the movies, or just thinking of the crucifix, but not really tapping into who God is and what he has done for us, and that if there is no feelings of it speaks a little bit to the Lord's Prayer, and it says many people pray that and they don't feel forgiven. And Screwtape indicates that this is one of their main ploys to keep people dealing with their feelings and not focusing on the fact of the finished work of the cross, and the fact that, you know, the word says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. You know, you confess your sins, you are forgiven. And it just speaks on how that is one of the, this is my words now, one of their top doctrines on having people caught up in how they feel and not understand the fact of what Christ has done and who he is, and as a result, who we are, meaning those who believe in him. So the whole idea that everything that they do is a counterfeit, that they can create nothing, and then that they can do nothing without the cooperation of the believer. And so letter four kind of just talks about that whole thing. You know, keep them confused in prayer. Don't have them really thinking about God. Have them caught up in their feelings and emotions. And if they don't get an emotional high, if you will, and that's my word, not C.S. Lewis's word, but if you don't get that euphoria that you're looking for, then they don't think that they've been effective in prayer. So, you know, to me, it just kind of lines up with the deception and the devious schemes of the enemy, and how we're talking about Jezebel's seduction schemes and strategies. You know, it just lines up, you know, I mean, obviously, because they're talking about demons, that it's, you know, that same thing. And then I just wanted to say regarding just in looking at chapter 3, I really enjoyed reading the definitions when it talks about powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness. I mean, we say that, or I should put it this way.
Right.
I say that in prayers without really delineating exactly what that means. You know, each one of them needs a prayer, you know, against the powers, against the spiritual wickedness, against the demons, you know, as opposed to just make it part of a run-on sentence and on to the uh-huh. next thing. That I think that reminding myself from reading the Screwtape letters, it calls to my remembrance how routine we can make our prayer. And uh-huh. even when we feel like we're praying in earnest, where it can be routine and we're not really focusing in on. So for me, this study it's not so much eye-opening like this is a new revelation, but it is good to go back to some of those things that I think that we just feel like, okay, I've done that, check that box. You know, yeah, I know about, you know, grace, or I know about forgiveness, or I know about demons and that kind of thing. But to be handling this again really makes me to remember, or makes me to recognize that it is a constant battle, you know, and
yeah.
like even though intellectually and academically, you know, it's a constant battle, but a lot of times in the practical, you know, we don't see it that way.
Right.
And just like we don't look at Satan and his schemes and avenues and devices, I think a lot of times we fail to see what, or to effectively use what we have on our side of the ledger, you know, what God has given us to be able to appropriate who we are and whose we are, because the whole thing of the book is keep them from knowing who they are and what power they have. You know, the main power is that you just don't have to cooperate, and you will be victorious because we are already victorious. But when we are duped into thinking otherwise, you know, we're certainly ineffective.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Good insight.
And that's 1 John 1:9. It talks about the whole idea that if we confess our sins, you know, he's faithful and just, that we
right.
can know that we are forgiven, whether you feel forgiven yeah. or not. Walk in that truth, you know, until that becomes a reality that manifests in your life. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, you are, you know, if you're confessing Jesus Christ.
Amen. I was a person that I didn't know was on. They weren't on speaker, but you're on speaker now if you want to say something.
All right. Good morning. Praise the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Just getting in the room late. I was listening. But I want to make sure that I make myself known that I'm in your room.
Oh, amen. All right. You're always welcome. Fridays at 9 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Hello?
Yes, a
couple. Yes. Even as you and Elder Deborah were sharing, I guess it was interesting. I reflected back on a previous lesson that you facilitated on on the 23rd Psalm, and, you know, understanding that concept of who we are and what God has put in us to bring to the table. So then when you begin to talk about the onslaught of the enemy and the strategic realms and levels and dimensions that he looks to
infiltrate our thinking and our mind when we don't have the principles, as you illustrated, solidified, you know, in our mind, in our emotions, in the patterns of our thought, then we become prey to them, and we can't live as victorious as you were indicating, but just realizing, you know, that there is a place where that we have to evict the enemy from the space that we have given him in our mind so that we'll be able to do battle in those various realms. And so just as you all were talking about that, I began to look at, like, our spiritual artillery looks like the gospel of who Christ is our ammunition. And the more we understand these principles that you are speaking of, not just intellectually or able to quote of, but relationally, and we are able to live it. So you were talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, the more we get entrenched in that as a part of our existence and being, the better we will be able to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. So I just appreciated the dynamics by which you were you all were presenting. So thank you.
Amen. Well, if there's nothing else, we will enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And see you Sunday or Wednesday or next Sunday. I mean, next Friday. So we won't see you, but we will hear you. Okay? Enjoy September.
Amen. September.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
For God's sake.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bless each and every one.